This talk of fruit trees kind of makes me wish we were someplace that was, I don't know, warmer and less windy, where they have fruit trees, like, say, Florida on a beach somewhere. You know, someplace where the trees actually have leaves on them, things like that, you know, silly stuff like that. But our Lord tells us, you know, every tree is known by its own fruit. And we understand this. We know what kind of tree it is by looking at the fruit that it produces. In the rectory in Malta, in the backyard, was this really good apple tree. This apple tree got to the point where it would produce so many apples, we actually would have to like tie the branches up. Otherwise, they would become too heavy. It would possibly even start breaking branches. Lots of good apples. Made lots of good apple pies, too. I didn't cook, but other people did, and I got to share in the benefits, which I always enjoyed. But we look at that tree, well, no, that is an apple tree, because there's apples on it. And it's a good apple tree, because it produces lots of apples. We go down to Florida, and we can go to the orange groves and say, yeah, that's definitely an orange tree, or vineyard, and look at the grapes and so on. And we can tell if those trees and those vineyards have been cared for well, because of by the fruit that they will produce. They will produce, you know, lots of fruit and good fruit. As the first reading says, the fruit of a tree shows the care it has had. So too does one's speech disclose the bent of one's mind. Again, going to the analogy of a fruit tree, we look at the tree, we look at the fruit it produces. We can tell if they were caring for it or not. If the tree has had good nourishment, good nutrients, if it's had plenty of moisture, plenty of rain or water, it's had the soil is good, it's going to produce a lot of fruit. It's going to be, the tree is going to grow, the vines are going to grow, and it's going to produce lots of fruit. But if that tree is planted in bad soil, or it's deprived of nutrients, it's deprived of moisture, it's either not going to produce any fruit, or it will produce very little and very poor fruit during that year. Well, the same thing is true about our spiritual lives. Our spiritual lives are much like a fruit tree that they need to be nourished. They need to be cared for. We need to provide it spiritual and moral nourishment. And if we do that, if we provide good spiritual and moral nutrients, nourishment, our spiritual life will produce good spiritual and moral fruit. That's what our Lord is saying in this analogy, in this parable of the fruit trees. But if we bring in spiritual junk food, such as a lot of the stuff you see on TV right now, or bad behaviors, hanging out with bad people, garbage material, and so on. If we bring in bad, really spiritual poison into our lives, we don't nurture our spiritual lives, we will produce bad spiritual and moral fruit. This is what our Lord means when he says, a good person out of the store of goodness in his heart produces good, but an evil person out of the store of evil produces evil. For from the fullness of the heart the mouth speaks. What we put into ourselves spiritually will produce the good or bad spiritual and moral fruits. And I'm sure we've all known people who it is clear that they have nurtured their spiritual lives. They are producing good spiritual and moral fruit. They are truly good people. And it is because they are engaged in good spiritual practices, such as prayer, reading spiritual materials, doing study of the spiritual life, reading the scriptures. And by doing these things, it leads them to produce the good spiritual fruit of service to others, of serving others, of being more concerned about neighbor than themselves. That's the good spiritual fruit we want to see. We see it in their lives, and it radiates from them. But I'm sure we also know people who produce bad spiritual fruit. They are not living alive lives of spiritual nourishment. They're poisoning their spiritual life. They're the people who, they're selfish. It's about them. They're caught up in themselves, they're self-centered, or they're caught up in things like drugs and alcohol, addictions. Things like that, that they live a dissolute life. You know, it's not to say that any things in moderation are bad, but they go beyond that to the point of rooting their life, producing bad spiritual fruit. They show this bad spiritual poison that they have brought into their lives. Now, to be clear, I'm not talking about judging the state of someone's soul, what is in their heart. I like the way Sirach puts it in the first reading. Praise no one before he speaks, for it is then that people are tested. When we hear what people say, what we see what they do, that is the fruit of the lives they live. That's not judging the state of their soul. That's not judging their heart, but it is judging what they have done with the spiritual goods that they have been given. But ultimately, that's not what's important when we're talking about judging spiritual fruit. We're not supposed to be judging their spiritual fruit, except maybe to say, this is a bad person, and being with them can cause me to receive bad spiritual poison. Being with them is a spiritual poison for me. It's ultimately about what spiritual fruit are we producing? Am I producing? Am I producing a good spiritual fruit? Again, going to our Lord. Why do you notice the splinter in your brother's eye, but do not perceive the wooden beam in your own? We do that so often. We're so worried about everybody's little defects and mistakes and errors and problems that we don't look at our own defects and mistakes and errors and problems. We excuse ours, but we focus on everybody else's. That's a bad spiritual fruit. We need to be looking at ourselves and saying, what spiritual fruit am I producing? And not deluding ourselves. One of the things that can happen when we are producing bad spiritual fruit is that we will not be honest with ourselves to recognize that. We will not be honest to be able to say, I am producing bad spiritual fruit. I have brought in spiritual poison into my life, and it is coming out as these sins and defects and so on. We think we're good people when maybe we're not all the time. There are places where maybe we're not, and we're not willing to recognize. But we're blinded. We're blinded by sin. We don't see us as we really are. And so the first step of that is to recognize the spiritual poisons that we have brought into our lives. And a lot of times, these are the things that we will call our guilty pleasures. Well, if they're guilty pleasures, then maybe we should be doing them because we're guilty of doing them. You know, you might know someone that's like, oh, you know I shouldn't watch it, but my guilty pleasure is watching daytime TV. Which, frankly, other than Price is Right, there really isn't anything on daytime TV worth watching. A lot of that stuff is spiritual garbage, spiritual poison, those talk shows and so on. Maybe the guilty pleasure is junk food. Maybe the guilty pleasure is too much alcohol, too much doing drugs. Maybe it's certain kinds of reading or images that we shouldn't be looking at. And so on. We all have things in our lives that are spiritual poison that we might call a guilty pleasure. And I have never heard a person say, I have a guilty pleasure. I like to come into the church and pray before our Lord. First of all, because that's not a guilty pleasure. Secondly, because that's a good thing, you know. But I've never heard someone say that. Oh, I know I spend too much time at the church praying. Like there is such a thing. What we need to do is examine our lives and see what spiritual poisons are we bringing into our lives that produce bad fruit in our lives. This is, St. Paul talks about the sting of death is sin. Death entered into the world because of sin, because of spiritual poison. And that sin leads to death. So we need to get that spiritual poison, that sin, out of our lives. We need to wash it away, get rid of it. We need to find good spiritual fruit to replace it. get that bad fruit out of our lives, those things that keep us from our Lord, those things that keep producing the bad spiritual fruit, and find good spiritual nourishment for our spiritual lives. Good nourishment for our spiritual lives. And what a coincidence, we're just about to start a season that is dedicated to that purpose, Lent. One of the purposes of Lent is to examine our lives and to find those things that keep us from following our Lord more fully. And that's why we do the practices of giving something up for Lent. I think we've kind of forgotten that it's supposed to be more than just chocolates or coffee or fill in the blank here. By the way, as an aside, when you're deciding something to give up for Lent, first of all, it really should be something that is a little bit of a sacrifice. It should be something that might hurt a little bit to give up. However, if you're one of those people that could be best described as, I haven't had my coffee, don't talk to me, don't give up coffee for Lent. Just don't. Your sacrifice should not be someone else's punishment. But we should find things that, you know, I really don't want to do without that. I'll live, but I really don't want to do without that. You know, because for example, for me, not eating meat on Fridays is really not a difficult thing. I like seafood. I occasionally like a vegetarian dish. It's not a punishment. It's not a difficult thing. But when we're looking at things to give up for Lent, this is a good time to take a look at those spiritual poisons we bring into our lives and maybe set one aside. Preferably not picking it up again after Lent is done. Find those. So this is a good week here, because we've got a couple of days until Ash Wednesday, to say, what spiritual poisons do I have and I can get rid of? And what can I replace that spiritual poison with a spiritual nutrient, with something that is good for us? Because ultimately our goal as Christians is to produce the good spiritual and moral fruit that our Lord calls us to do. So that spiritual goodness, that spiritual fruit, will be seen and will lead others to Christ. And that will be the ultimate spiritual fruit, is that by us living a life, taking in those spiritual nutrients, we will lead people to Christ. And that's our goal as Christians. That fruit is produced for the sake of our salvation, for the sake of leading us and others to our Lord. And may that truly be how we live this coming Lenten season, seeking to produce that good spiritual fruit.